Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Whatever is not of you, just blow it away and make it of no effect. But what is of you, cause it to go deep within. Capture us with your word, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's move quickly here. I'm going to read two portions of scriptures to you. I'm going to start in Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 23. Oh, wow. Okay. And there it says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Okay. Other translations put all the issues of life flow from your heart. So watch over your heart with all diligence. Okay. Jumping ahead to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 16 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing in everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Okay, we'll just stop there. We're really going to try to not go very long this morning. As I mentioned to you earlier, God does not see our circumstances. I will contend that God does not see our circumstances the way we do. Okay. I don't know what's going on in your life, but in my life, there are certain things that are great, certain things that are not so great. There are things that I would love to see disappear and never bother me again. There are other things which I wish I had more of. A collection of all sorts of circumstances. And it's also worth saying that, you know, there's kind of like seasons in our life. There are times when everything is terrible. Like nothing is going right. And there are other times when everything is just fabulous. And you think, why can't it be like this all the time? But whatever it is, it's not difficult for me to let my circumstances define me. Okay? What is my life about? It's about getting this circumstance dealt with and that circumstance dealt with. And figuring out how to get through this circumstance and how to help that person with their circumstance. And without too much difficulty, we can end up thinking that our life is just about circumstances. And our life is not about circumstances. It really isn't. You know, this series of messages that we're talking about being a disciple of Jesus, this particular part, we started way back in Genesis, where it makes it clear that God made us in his image. And that means something more than, it is a very deep phrase when he says that there, okay? And far beyond my ability to bring it all to the light. But I can say that we are not merely creatures that are going through this existence, but rather we were designed. We were purposefully formed and fashioned. And we know from the fuller story of Scripture that God has an agenda concerning you, that your circumstances are merely, as I said before, the setting in which the agenda of God can work out in your life. What's God's agenda in general terms? Well, first and foremost, he wants to save you. He wants to rescue you. You know, whether you believe it or not, whether you think this way or not, I don't know everybody's thoughts about the things that we're talking about in this room. You know, even if you all nodded your head and said, oh, yes, absolutely, that doesn't necessarily mean inside you really think that. You know what I mean? There are things that we say yes to just to be polite, but we don't actually think that on the inside. Well, whatever you might be, the reality is God made you. And he made you for purposes that go beyond merely get through this life. There are people who really do not think that there is a God, that they somehow, you know, we evolved, we arrived in this setting as a series of random chances, basically, that all worked out in a certain way, and as a result of that, here we are, okay? And so they cannot imagine their life having any more purpose than exist. But God, who, by the way, never makes a case that he exists in the scriptures, right? He never gives you, here's a 5-point argument for why God exists. He never does that. He just assumes that you know it. You know, it doesn't say, in Genesis chapter 1, it doesn't say, first let's make the case for God. He just says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There are people who certainly do think that there is no God, their life is just a matter of a collection of random chances, etc., etc., but the scriptures tell us otherwise. You are not a mere random occurrence, a sequence of events that have led you to this, and just get your life through it, whatever you can. In other words, your life is not merely limited to what your circumstances are. God has made you for something far grander. But we need to learn to look beyond our circumstances and respond to what God says about us, our circumstances, what's going on. Along the way so far, I'm trying to sort of give a summary of things that we talked about without just saying everything all over again and using up all my time. One of the things that we saw is what God wants for a person does not automatically happen. It is very important that we reject this philosophy that can actually be in the church. God is God. Whatever happens is what he wants. You know, there are religions and there are even flavors of Christianity that think this way, that whatever is going on is what God wants, because after all, God is God. And they don't realize that what they're really talking about is something called fatalism. The fates. You know, in Greek philosophy, there was the idea of the fates. Your life has to go according to what the fates say. I'm not a Muslim. I've never been a Muslim, and I don't want to imply that I really understand it. But it seems to me fundamental to the way that a Muslim thinks is, inshallah, whatever will be, like whatever God wants, that's what's going to happen. Whatever is going on in my life, that's what God wants. That's not what the scriptures present, though. You know, from the beginning, he makes it clear that he has given people a choice. Have you ever considered, for those who know the story of what happened in the Garden of Eden, God puts the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life in the middle of the garden. The whole garden is filled with things that are a delight and good for food. It's just a pleasure. And the only thing he says is, don't eat from that tree. Okay? Don't eat from that tree. Now, you and I, sitting on the other side of the fall, you're thinking, like, that is the most dangerous thing that has ever existed in all of eternity. Why did God put it there? Like, of all the places to put it, why put it next to Adam and Eve, who, when all is said and done, don't show the greatest judgment when it comes to things? A snake starts to talk to them, and they think, hey, I ought to pay attention to that. They don't think, this is odd, because no other animal seems to talk. No, they go along with it and they listen to it. And of course, that tree is there. Like, wouldn't it have been better if God did not put that tree there? Like, if there was just no way to do the stupid thing, wouldn't my life be much better? Yes and no. If your life is merely about circumstances, then yes, taking away any possibility of making a foolish choice would, of course, result in only good choices, okay? But I'm telling you, God is after something far more precious than good circumstances. If God did not put that tree in the garden, okay, there would be no issue of choice. And the thing that God is after, above all, is your choice of him. The most important and valuable thing, the most significant thing about a person is that they can choose. Okay? So by no means was God wanting them to choose the wrong thing. But if there was no choice there, then they're no better than robots. They're no better than trained seals. And that's not what God is after. God is after your choice of him. So right from the beginning, you see that God sets before people choice. What is your choice? What is your choice? What is your choice here? And there are times when people have circumstances happen to them that are really beyond their control, and they think, I'm completely out of control here. I don't have anything. On the one hand, yes, your circumstances may be because of what other people did or some circumstance that came by that you had no control over. Fair enough. But there is still something you have choice over, and that is, how do I respond? And this is the precious thing that God is wanting to work with us. The significant thing about your life is your choices of things. Okay? Circumstances, I don't want to, you know, become all ascetic and say, oh, circumstances don't matter. It's just the flesh. Circumstances are a part of our life, but you need to understand that the setting, that's merely the setting in which God is teaching you to choose. Why? Because what He wants does not come to pass without your choice. Okay? I'm talking in a limited context when it comes to your life. I'm not talking about everything in the universe is waiting for Titus to make a choice. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your personal life. The will of God works out through choices. He does not force Himself on us. He invites us. He calls to us. Right? And this is essential that you understand this, because otherwise you will think that devotion to God, life with God, trying to be a Christian is all about getting your circumstances sorted out. Why am I a Christian? Because God says He can fix stuff for me. He can fix stuff for you. He absolutely can. And He intends to. Don't get me wrong. He intends to. But I don't know whether you realize this or not. I can say this about my life. I suspect it's true about your life. One of the things I have found out as I walk with God is a lot of the stuff that I want God to fix, I broke. And if I don't change, I'll keep breaking it. So yes, God wants to fix it, but He's after something more thorough than all of a sudden it's sunny. He is after, I'm going to fix this and I'm going to fix you so that you don't keep breaking it. There is a deeper thing often going on. We think that what's going on is merely about circumstances and choices and all that. God is after deeper things. God is after deeper things. I don't have time to really build on this. You know, we were made in the image of God. We do not come to an end. God is from everlasting to everlasting. We have a beginning, of course, but we don't have an end. If I could put it that way. By that, I don't mean that we are God. I mean that every human being will live forever. The question is where and how. Okay? So our circumstances are merely temporary things in our life. They are merely, at the worst, at the very worst, you're going to die. And all your circumstances come to an end. Right? And then the choices, what you gained in God, becomes the issue. And therein lies the absolute essential thing that we need to see about our life. If you let your life merely be about, this is happening to me, that happened to me, I don't know what I'm going to do about this, you're missing the point. God is calling you to something far greater and far more significant is, how are you responding to Him in these circumstances? The will of God does not automatically work out. It does not. It is worked by people who are cooperating with God. Again, do you understand? I'm talking in a limited context. I'm talking about you. There are things going on in the universe that you and I have absolutely no control and power over, and God is not waiting for our choice. There is an appointed day. There is a day appointed when Jesus is returning. And not a thing that we do changes it. It's known by the Father, and He knows it, and it's coming. And not a thing that we do, choose, like, dislike, affects it. But when it comes to your life, the point of your life is to learn to say yes to God and work the will of God. Okay? So I want you to understand that. The other thing I want you to understand is, as I said, these things don't automatically work out. It is not the case, and anybody in years who has given their life to Jesus is welcome to correct me about this. It is not the case that the day you get born again, the day you personally respond to Jesus. Remember, being a Christian is not a religion. It's not about being a part of an organization that has the authority to give you citizenship in heaven. It is not that. It is everything to do with your personal relationship with Jesus. So at some point in time, if you said yes to the message about Jesus and what He did, that He died on the cross, not for himself, but for you. It was for your sins that he went to the cross, for what you owed that he paid. And if you put your trust in him, God says, then you are adopted as mine. I take you. I can receive you now. Okay? The day that you were born again, was that the day that everything in your life became perfect? And no more trouble, no more sorrow, money flowing out of your pockets? I don't know anybody who was like that. I know that there are people who've had very dramatic conversions. But I don't know anybody who became a Christian and everything was just perfect. Rather, they became a Christian and then the journey with God began. Okay? And God says, so my point is simply, God is not going to say, just say yes to Jesus and bang, I'll snap my fingers and everything is perfect. Rather, he says, good, now follow me. Follow me. This is what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. We follow him. Okay? And why do we follow him? Because God wants to do for you what he promised. I want you to have life and have it abundantly. Well, then give it to me. I'm all for that. I'm ready for it. Yeah, see, Titus, the problem is what I want to give you, there are things going on inside you that will wreck it. So let's deal with that first. There's nothing going on. What are you talking about? Okay, so Titus, here. I want you in all things to give thanks. Okay, good. That's cool with me. Next morning I wake up, I have a headache, and the last thing I feel like is getting out of bed. And God says, do you remember what I said to you yesterday, Titus? Well, I wouldn't give thanks if I had something to give thanks for. Duh! And I don't recognize there is a way within me that puts my circumstance above what God says. I have learned some painful lessons in my life. Don't use me as an example necessarily, but I will say this is, I can relate to anybody who goes through this. I have learned it in the hardest of ways that I personally can imagine. It is a dangerous thing to put your thought and your opinion and your circumstance above what God says. It is what people typically do, and what God works is to bring you to choose to do that differently. Okay? So your circumstances are the setting in which you learn something absolutely essential. If you want what God promised to work out, put him first. Put him first. This is what it means to be a disciple. God is not saying, prove to me that I ought to help you. Okay, say your prayers, read your Bible, give money to the church. Do those things, and then, once you have jumped enough hoops, I will give you these things. That's not what discipleship is about. Discipleship is about this. I want you to have, God says, everything Jesus purchased for you. So come with me. Let me work with you. And the encouraging thing about that is, as I said to you before, it doesn't matter where you're at. If you've been the worst Christian, if you're not even a Christian, or if you've been the absolute worst Christian that you can possibly imagine, if you've been a backslider all this time, if you're a Christian who's been doing fabulously and then, like David, you sin spectacularly. And you know, David's sin, most of us sin and nobody knows about it. David's spectacular sin, everybody and all of history knows about it. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what you are. If you're willing to follow him, he can take you from there into fullness. But you've got to choose. This is the thing about God that I think is essential that we understand. God will. I don't think it's a matter of he just doesn't want to snap his fingers. The way he has ordained things means there is only one way that things can work out in God, and that is through your choice to believe him. And without that choice in place, he can't. Okay? When I say he can't, I don't mean there's somebody stronger than God keeping his arms back, but he is faithful. If he says, this is how it works, then guess what? This is how it works. If he says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin, then guess what? If it's not faith, it is sin. If he says that, you know, you can ask anything you want, and if you believe you've received it when you pray, it'll be done for you. Then guess what? Asking, hoping that it works out, looking to see if it does, not really believing it, and then wondering, why is it not working? is not God punishing you. It's not God being mad at you. It's, hey, that's just not how it works. That's just not how it works. Why don't you come with me? Let me do a work in you whereby you have no problem asking and expecting it before you see it. Okay? Being a disciple is, come with me. I want to give you everything. It's not about being religious. It's not about, you know, being good humans. You know, it's good for humans to have some sort of spiritual dimension to it. That's not what this is about. This is all about Jesus having purchased something that he wants you to have, and only he can help you with it. Because you and I, on our own, will never figure it out. We are neither smart enough, but more to the point, we are not diligent enough. We are not, what's the right word? At my best, I do stupid things. They may not look stupid, but you know, when you're sitting in God's throne room and looking at what, why on earth are you choosing this? Why are you choosing that? And then when I see it, I say, oh my goodness, what a stupid thing to do. Okay? But I wish I could say, having done 18 stupid things, I don't do 19. I wish I could, but that's not the way it works. God has to come alongside and build in me this thought. And one of the critical things that we need to work with, and I'm almost out of my time here again, you've got to give God the right place. This is absolutely key if you want to see the things that God has offered you, promised you, work out in your life. You've got to give God his place. Okay, and that's obviously a bigger statement than I can wrap up in a few statements. It's not because God gets jealous. I know the scriptures say that God is a jealous God, and there is a truth there that needs to be captured, but it is not, you know, how we get jealous. Okay, that is not what God is like at all. At all. So when God does not do what he says, like when I say we need to give God the proper place, it's not like he has some sort of insecurity and he just needs people to keep saying nice things about him. That is not what we're talking about. He is telling you, listen, let's put in place a way that whatever is going on can keep you on track. If this is not in place, then you will be led astray by all sorts of things. Okay? You live in a setting where God has called you and there is someone opposed to you following. And if you don't listen to God and put into place these keys, then that person who opposes you will succeed. So God says, first and foremost, what was the first law? Okay, I know we're not under the law, but it still gives us insight. What was law number one in the Ten Commandments? Does anybody remember? Say it again. There is only one God when all is said and done, right? And you will honor me. That's not exactly how he said it, but that's the picture, right? You will have no other gods but me. Now, on the one hand, that's like, yeah, obviously. But isn't the history of Israel littered with, yeah, obviously, and then going and worshiping a cow or a bull or whatever else? And they always ended up in trouble. Why did God put that first? Because this will keep you on track. Everything else can fall into place if you put me above all things. This is what is behind the instruction, give thanks always. This is what is behind the instruction, rejoice in the Lord. This is what is behind, worship him. Give God the right place. Whatever's going on in your life, give God the right place. Give God the right place. Give him the right place. And one of the ways that manifests is, in all things, give thanks. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in all things give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. How many people here would like to know what God's will for them is? Well, we've just been given a hint. I'm not sure the people who didn't raise their hand, you must already know, and everything is cool. But for those of us who need some help, he's just given it to us. In all things give thanks. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. He's not saying this is all there is. He's saying for your circumstance, for what you are going through right now, here's my will for you. Give thanks. How does that solve anything? He doesn't always explain himself. Give thanks. And so when I finally get around to saying, okay, you know what? He actually is worthy of my thanksgiving. then, you know, what happens is we are, God can then help us with the next step. Let's put it that way. God really is intent on helping you. He really is. He has not wavered from his agenda concerning you ever. But there is a way things work, and you have to be willing to follow him. You know, I think there's a picture that we sometimes paint, and I think it's right, that, you know, let's say I get involved with God, and then I'm get mad. I don't want anything. I go wandering off on my own, right? This is the path that God wants me to go on, and I go this way, okay? What do you think God does? Well, what God does is he follows you. He comes along with you on the wrong path, but not so that he can fulfill where the wrong path is taking you, because that's death. It's to bring you back to the right place so that now you can start following him. Okay? God does not abandon you. He does not leave you alone and say, fine, you made your bed, go lie in it. He comes with you. But not to confirm and to build your wrong choice, but to bring you back. So when all is said and done, you cannot get past this junction called give him the right place. When all is said and done, for you to get from here to there, you're going to have to go through this junction called give God the right place. The sooner you get to it, and the sooner you decide to go in that way, the sooner things can start falling into place in your life. If things are not falling into place in your life, it's not because God does not want it. It's not. Look, you know, if you have kids, you may be able to relate to it. I cannot think of any cause that I would sacrifice my daughter for. I cannot think of anything. You know, I once told you before, if there was a rare disease and only my daughter's blood could cure the humanity, well, humanity is dead. I'm not giving my daughter. I don't care. I mean, I love you all, but nobody's taking my daughter from me. Not for that. And Jesus died. God gave his son for a bunch of worthless, broken, rebellious people. If he gave everything, what would he hold back from you now? How could you possibly conclude that God is not intent on blessing you, filling your life? The problem is not on God's side. It is on ours. There is one junction. Junction might not be the right word. What's the word? There's one road. There's one. You've got to pass this checkpoint. If you don't pass the checkpoint, fine. God will go wandering with you. But to bring you back to this place where you can again choose, okay, I'll give him the right place. So then the next things can happen. If your life is not marked by blessing coming to help you, strength when you are weak, you know, life in the midst of your weakness coming to help you, you got to pay attention. What's going on here? This is not what was offered me. Why is what God said is mine not my experience? And many people conclude, because, you know, it's all just fake anyway. It doesn't really matter. It's all just made up religion. Some people conclude, well, that's just what God is like. He has some deep purpose that we can't discern. But for you, he meant your life to be a mess. And for others, it's not that way. All of this is nonsense. He said, follow me. Not, I'll follow you. You follow me, says the Lord. No, I'll go my way. God says, okay, fine. Goes with you. But so that at the time, he can then bring you back, if you're willing, to, now, are you ready to follow me? Okay, I'm willing to follow you. So you step in, and things begin to unfold. Okay? You must come to this place where God is God, and I am not. God is God, and I am not, and he is simply worthy of my praise. If he says, I will give thanks, then I will give thanks. Why? Now, I'm not trying to be naive here. You ought to think through, okay, in this mess of a circumstance, what do I have to give thanks for? Okay, this has to be a genuine thanksgiving, not, I'll just parrot, thank you, 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 thank you. You know, one of the things that we do sometimes And I confess, I'm in danger of it. I'm going to stop here. Christians, when they have supper, they all tend to, if they're good Christians, if I can put it that way, Lord, I just give thanks to you for this food. Amen. And eat, we go. And it takes on different forms, right? Sometimes we sing songs and all that kind of stuff. But it's not hard for that just to be a ritual. I'm not actually giving thanks. I'm just saying what I'm supposed to say over my food, right? That's what Christians do, right? So I am not talking about you giving God the right place in some sort of form, because, you know, God is just so impressed with the surface. He sees past the surface, doesn't he? He gets to your very heart. Yeah, you're saying thanksgiving, but your heart isn't. So let's keep working with this until your heart genuinely thinks, God is worthy of my thanksgiving. Why? So, you know, just to illustrate, God then gets to work with you. Why do you think he's not? Why would you not give thanks to him? And if you can answer that question, you will get to the root of things that are trying to keep you back. And you will also find all sorts of basically lies you've been convinced about that until they are dealt with, they will impede you. Okay? I don't know about you. You can't just wish away a lie and its effect. It has to be dealt with. When all is said and done, the issues of life flow from my heart. They really do. That's what Proverbs says. Watch over your heart with all diligence, because from it flow the springs of life, the issues of life. Everything concerning your life actually flows from your heart and what's going on there. So that's why God says, okay, so look, let's start fixing your heart here. Give me first place. That's the first thing that has to be in your heart. Give me first place. Because if you give me first place, then I can help you with everything else. If you don't give me first place, I will not take it from you and fix things for you. You have to give it to me. You have to give it to me. God really means to fill your life with life and life abundantly. He really means it. But it works a certain way. You must choose. He will not overrule your choice. And I find that extraordinary. The living God, who can do whatever he wants, won't make me do anything. But he invites me. He says, come on, this is the way. Come with me. Come with me. God is not after your circumstances looking good. He's after you having life. And life is something that can endure the worst of circumstances. Okay? As we said before, all your circumstances aren't purely because of you. There are things that are going on in your life that are because of somebody else. And you have no power to change it. Right? You know, we prayed about the situation going on in the Middle East. Those people who are now facing the brunt of the effects of those choices, they didn't make the choice. People far removed from where they are and what they're going through made choices. But they're the ones facing the consequences. And I'm telling you, the life of God is more than able to carry you through something like that. But it must be chosen. It must be welcomed. And here's where we start. Give him the first place. Give him the first place. The fear of the Lord is the secret for life. Right? You cannot enter into the things of God without this being in place. If you're one of these people who's waiting to go, well, I'll give thanks when God does something worthwhile for me, you'll be waiting. Actually, what actually happens is God keeps doing wonderful things for you, and you can't see it. You can't see it. You can't see how merciful he has been to you. The very fact that you take another breath is a sign of the goodness of God. And you don't recognize it. What's he done for me? I would give thanks if I had a reason. And you just cannot see it. So you have to put God first. It has to be a choice. It has to be a choice. Give thanks in all things. Underneath that is, give God his place. So that your heart can be kept and you can be brought into everything. I don't care where you're at with the Lord. I mean, I am interested. If you have not personally given your life to the Lord, like, you know, you come to church because, well, somebody made you. Okay, I remember those days. I remember figuring out how not to come anyway. Okay, my parents tried to make me go to church, and I'd come up with all sorts of creative ways to get out of it. Coming here is not the point. Coming here is an opportunity. Okay, but being a part of this church, I mean, at the end of the day, it's neither here nor there. But if you personally have not given your life to Jesus by your own choice, right? You understand what I'm saying? He will not just take your life from you. He's waiting for you to offer it to him. If you have not done that, then please come and see me or somebody on the worship team or somebody in the church. Most people here should be able to lead you to the Lord. You need to. Being a part of a church or an organization is actually, when all is said and done, irrelevant when it comes to this matter. You have to start by giving your life to Jesus. If you haven't done that, please, by all means, come and see me. But having done that, understand that here's how every good thing will work out. It's going to involve your choice, and it's going to involve, starting here, choosing to give God his place on a regular, daily, everyday basis. You know, much of the trouble that we face, stop me after these two sentences, if I don't, because I'll just keep on going. So much of the trouble that we personally face could be extinguished if we started with, what does God think about my choice here? What does God think about my reaction? Somebody comes and slaps me on the face. What does God think about my reaction now? If that matters to me more than anything else, I'll stay on track. I'll stay out of so much trouble. I'll stay out of so much trouble. If it matters to me more what God thinks than what you think or I think or anything else, if what God thinks matters to me more, I'll watch my mouth. I'll watch how I respond to somebody. I'll watch what kinds of things I do to my body, what kinds of things I allow into me. If what matters to me is what God says, it changes everything. And this is what God wants to build. Okay? You didn't stop me. We'll stop there and we'll look forward to continuing from here. Down the road here, I mean, I think I've spent enough time just talking about the fear of the Lord without actually getting into the mechanics of it. You know, I talked to you about being deliberate in giving thanks. I want you to be deliberate in giving thanks. Did anybody take a moment to shout to the Lord 2 weeks ago? Okay, if you're willing to say, what was your experience about it? Yeah. We don't realize that there are things that assault us and they have to be repelled. And one of those ways is just, like I said, take a moment and just shout to the Lord. You know, our praise services should be not when I finally feel like raising my hands. No, it needs to come to a place where I just choose to. I want my praise to be deliberate. Of course, all the good stuff I want to bring to him. No worries there. I wish I could say my life is just so filled with all the good things that's what carries me. I find myself having to deliberately choose to bless the Lord, shout, sing, stand, clap. And that is more precious than all the circumstances lining up to carry you on a flood of euphoria. Okay? I mean, yes, in a euphoric moment, he's still worthy of our praise. So by all means, in fact, James says, is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. But if you're not cheerful, you're not excused. And it is more valuable for your life to learn to praise him when things are not going well. Because you're deliberately saying, I know there's more to this than what I can see. I know that you are my Savior. So I'll give thanks now. Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much for coming. If you have any questions or anything, please come and see me. If you have some prayer request, please come and see me. Otherwise, we'll look forward to seeing you hopefully on Thursday and then on Sunday.